Good morning. It's Tuesday, 8th of December. Our New Testament reading today is James chapter 2. I'm going to read to you again from Brother Dudley Fifield's book, Glimpses of Glory. In this section, Brother Dudley reflects upon the contrast between the relationship that the Lord's family had with him prior to his crucifixion and that which is expressed in the Epistle of James. I read, "Is it not reasonable to suppose, as Mark 3 records, that his kinsfolk thought him to be beside himself when he cleansed the temple, because they could not comprehend why he should have committed what, to them, was a bewildering and shameful deed, which they thought brought dishonour not only upon him, but also on his family in the eyes of the rulers of the Jews?" Then he writes, "If, as we believe, the epistle that bears James' name was written by the Lord's brother, what an insight it gives us into the character of this man, who might have been filled with a sense of his own importance, given his close relationship, after the flesh, with the only begotten Son of God. However, he introduces himself to his readers as James, the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was to be thought of as the master's slave, and, significantly, after this introduction, only on one other occasion does he refer to him, either by name or title. In this passage, he speaks of him as our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory." That's chapter 2, verse 1. Thus making himself one with his readers, and having no pretensions to privilege. There was no attempt to take advantage of his relationship. He shows no expectation to be treated with respect and deference. To James, who, during his ministry, had not found it in his heart to believe on him, he had now become the glory. The word Lord not being in the original Greek. Undoubtedly, the Lord's post-resurrectional appearance to James, which we read about in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 7, must have had a profound effect upon him. The fact that he was singled out in this way, however, was not just because he was the Lord's half-brother. He must surely have already begun to revise his thinking concerning the Lord Jesus. And the Lord who had lived with him in Nazareth must have been aware of the sterling qualities he possessed that were to make him such a powerful influence in the ecclesia in Jerusalem. The question might be asked, other than as a matter of interest, what benefit is all this information about James to us? Well, if we reflect upon the fact that this man must have lived with the Lord Jesus for well over 20 years, what a testimony his belief is to everything that the Lord claimed to be. It is, we suggest, one of the great proofs of the Lord's real identity. It is fascinating to think of the manner in which this man must have shared his life with the Lord Jesus. They ate their meals together. They worked together. They participated in all those activities that fall to brothers growing up together in a family relationship. How much could he have told of the Lord's early years? He knew all the intimate details. If there had been mischief leading to the sins of youth, he would have known. Against this background, his ultimate acceptance of the Lord Jesus as the only begotten Son of God, his recognition of him as his Lord and Saviour, is a most remarkable and powerful testimony to the veracity of the scriptural record. Having lived in such close proximity to his half-brother for so long, it is astonishing to read his words, albeit under the power of inspiration, that he is our Lord Jesus Christ, the glory. For he beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What a wonderful testimony that is. Thank you.